You know, it's wild how some cancers can come back even after surgery,
Yeah.
like the non-small cell lung cancer we're looking at today. But get this.
What's that?
Researchers are finding clues not just in the tumor itself,
Okay.
but also in teeny tiny cancer cells that can escape and circulate in the bloodstream.
Oh, wow.
It's like a microscopic detective story.
Yeah,
So
it really is.
we're going deep on a 2025 paper
Okay.
from the Archivos de Bronconeumologia
Interesting.
by Garcia Diaz and their team.
Okay.
They studied patients with early stage non-small cell lung cancer.
So early stage NSCLC.
Yeah, or NSCLC,
Got it.
who had surgery at a hospital in Spain.
Okay.
These stages, by the way, range from I to IIB,
I see.
which basically refers to the size of the tumor and how much it spread.
Makes sense.
Now, the researchers use some pretty high-tech tools
Right.
to analyze both the tumor tissue and the CTCs.
Interesting.
Yeah, and one of these tools is called next-generation sequencing.
Next generation sequencing or NGS?
Yeah. NGS, that sounds intense.
It is pretty amazing.
Break it down for me.
Okay, so
What is that exactly?
imagine a machine that can read the entire DNA code of a cancer cell,
Whoa.
like a super fast spell checker looking for typos.
Okay.
It can spot specific mutations or changes in the genes that might be driving the cancer's growth.
So it can help us find what's making it grow.
Exactly. In this study,
Yeah.
they analyzed 50 genes in tumor tissue
50.
from 23 of the patients.
Oh, wow. So
Yeah.
it's not just about seeing the cancer cells,
Right.
it's about understanding their entire instruction manual.
You got it.
And so what did they find
Okay. So
when they peeked into that manual?
the most frequently mutated genes they found were TP53,
Okay.
FLT1,
Got it.
MUC5AC, EGFR,
Okay.
and NLRP3.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, and some of these, like EGFR,
Yeah.
are already well-known targets for lung cancer therapies.
Okay, so they found these usual suspects.
Right.
But the paper also talks about something called co-occurring and mutually exclusive mutations. What's the difference?
Okay, so think of it like this.
Right.
Co-occurring mutations are genes that tend to mutate together, almost like they're teaming up.
Interesting.
They found several of these pairs, including CD163, TLR4, FGF10, FOXP2.
Oh my gosh.
You get the idea.
Those names,
Yeah.
not exactly catchy, are they?
Not at all.
I know trying to pronounce those gene names is a deep dive in itself,
Yeah, exactly.
but I get it. Some genes work together.
Yeah.
What about the mutually exclusive ones?
These are like the lone wolves of the gene world.
Okay.
They found that when one gene called RAN3 was mutated, another called TP53 was not, and vice versa.
Wow.
It's like they have opposite roles.
So they balance each other out almost.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe one's keeping the other in check.
Interesting. So they've got this map of which genes are mutated and
Yeah,
how they're interacting.
exactly.
But how does that connect back to those CTCs we were talking about earlier?
That's where things get really interesting.
Okay, tell me more.
They found that simply having CTCs present wasn't the whole story.
Really?
What really mattered was the level of a specific protein
Okay.
called EZH2 on those CTCs.
EZH2. Okay, why is that protein so important?
So patients who had CTCs with high levels of this EZH2 protein had a significantly higher risk of death.
Oh, wow.
87% higher, to be exact.
That's a lot higher.
It is.
It's a big jump.
Yeah, imagine you're a doctor.
Yeah.
If you see a patient with high EZH2 in their CTCs after surgery, it's a big red flag
Oh, no.
that the cancer might be more
That's
aggressive and
right.
more likely to return.
So it's like EZH2 is this marker that
Yeah.
can tell doctors which patients need more aggressive treatment or
Exact.
closer monitoring.
Right.
I see, I see.
Yeah.
But the paper also mentions
Right.
that the number of mutations in the tumor tissue might be a better predictor of recurrence
Yeah.
than just finding CTCs alone.
That's a crucial point.
It is, yeah. So it tells us that.
It tells us that looking at the tumor's entire genetic profile,
Right.
all the mutations,
Yeah.
is important. It's not just about finding a few bad actors.
Yeah.
It's about understanding the whole picture.
Got it. Okay, so we've got these gene mutations.
Right.
We've got the EZH2 protein on CTCs.
Yes.
Is there anything else in this research that jumped out at you?
There's one more thing that I found intriguing.
Okay, what is it?
They noticed a connection between some of the mutated genes
Okay.
and a completely different condition called COPD.
COPD, that's chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, right? Isn't
Exactly.
that a breathing problem, not cancer?
Yeah. It is. But they found that some of the genes that were mutated in these lung cancer patients, like NLRP3 and MUC5AC, are also involved in COPD.
Wait, so are they saying that having these mutations might make someone with COPD more likely to get lung cancer?
That's the question they raise. It's possible that these mutations create a kind of vulnerability in the lungs,
Right.
making them more susceptible to both COPD and lung cancer.
That's crazy. It's like these mutations are a common thread
Yeah.
connecting these two seemingly different lung conditions.
Exactly. So we've got genes working together,
Yeah.
genes working against each other, and genes potentially linked to a completely different disease.
Yeah.
This is getting complex.
It really is. Yeah. It's wild. What stands out to you from all of this so far?
Honestly, what blows me away is the level of detail they're able to see
Yeah.
with these new technologies. They're not just looking at cells under a microscope.
Nope.
They're deciphering their DNA,
Yeah.
tracking them in the bloodstream, and
Yeah.
finding connections to other diseases.
It's mind-boggling.
It really is remarkable. And it's this ability to see the intricate details
Yeah.
that's paving the way for a more personalized approach to cancer treatment,
Right.
which we'll delve into more later.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it really is mind-boggling. And you're right, this level of detail, it's opening up some exciting possibilities for personalized medicine, you
Yeah.
know?
So instead of a one-size-fits-all approach,
Right.
we're moving towards treatments tailored to each patient's unique tumor.
Exactly.
So instead of just saying, you have lung cancer, here's the standard treatment,
Right.
doctors could say, we've analyzed your tumor's DNA and your CTCs,
Yeah.
and here's a treatment plan that's specifically designed for you.
It's incredible.
That's pretty incredible.
And think about the implications for those with a higher risk of recurrence,
Yeah.
like those with the high EZH2 levels.
Right.
Doctors might be able to intervene earlier and more aggressively, potentially stopping the cancer from coming back.
So I see how EZH2 could be important,
Yeah.
but is it really reliable enough
Okay.
to base treatment decisions on?
I see what you're saying.
What if it's just a fluke in this one study?
That's a really valid question. And the researchers acknowledge that more studies are needed to confirm their findings.
Okay.
They even mention needing a larger study
Right.
to make sure these results hold true in a bigger, more diverse group of patients.
So what would a larger study look like?
So
Would they just need to find more people with lung cancer?
it's not just about the number of people, it's
Okay.
about diversity too.
Right.
A larger study would need to include patients
Okay.
from different backgrounds, ages, ethnicities, and parts of the world.
Yeah, to make sure it's
Oh,
not just
exactly.
this specific group in Spain.
Exactly. That way we can be more confident
Right.
that the findings apply to a wider range of people.
Got it. So let's imagine for a minute that a larger study confirms these findings.
Okay.
What would that mean for the future of lung cancer care? Would we be able to cure it completely?
A complete cure is always the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
But this research might not get us there just yet.
Okay.
However, it could dramatically change how we approach treatment.
How so?
We could move away from treating the disease itself and focus more on treating the individual.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's like shifting from a standardized recipe to a custom-tailored approach.
Exactly.
I like that.
Right.
But wouldn't testing for all these mutations
Yeah.
and analyzing CTCs be super expensive and time-consuming?
Those are really important considerations.
Yeah.
And there would definitely be logistical challenges to overcome.
Right.
However, the potential benefits for patients
Yeah.
could be significant enough to justify the effort.
So on one hand, we'd have more targeted treatments
Right.
for high-risk patients,
Yeah.
potentially preventing recurrence.
Exactly.
And on the other hand, we could spare low-risk patients from unnecessary treatments and side effects.
Absolutely.
That's a pretty powerful
It
balance.
is. And remember that intriguing link
Yeah.
between certain gene mutations and COPD.
Yes.
If that connection is confirmed, it could revolutionize how we approach lung cancer prevention altogether.
Instead of waiting for cancer to develop, we
Usually
could
not.
potentially identify those at risk early on
Right.
and intervene before it even takes hold.
It's like switching from playing defense to playing offense.
I like that.
Yeah.
This all sounds incredibly promising,
It is.
but I have to admit it's a lot to wrap my head around.
It is a lot to take in.
We've gone from a single research paper to talking about the future of personalized medicine and cancer prevention.
But that's the beauty of these deep dives.
Yeah.
We start with a focused topic and end up exploring all these interconnected ideas and possibilities.
This deep dive has certainly given me a new perspective on lung cancer.
Yeah.
It's not just a disease.
Right.
It's a complex puzzle with genetic clues.
Uh-huh.
Potential biomarkers.
Yes.
And even links to other conditions.
Absolutely. And remember, this research was conducted in a specific setting.
Right.
What we need now are more studies to see if these findings hold true in other populations and with different types of lung cancer.
Right. This study focused on non-small cell lung cancer.
Yeah.
What about small cell lung cancer? Or patients who can't have surgery?
Right.
Could we use these same tools and approaches for them?
That's a fantastic question.
Yeah.
And honestly, we don't have all the answers yet.
Right.
But the research we've discussed today opens up avenues to explore those questions.
Okay.
It's like they've shown a light on a path, and now it's up to other researchers to follow it and see where it leads.
It's exciting to think about all the potential breakthroughs that might be waiting just around the corner.
It really is.
But for now, let's shift gears a bit and consider another fascinating aspect of this research.
Okay.
The collaborative nature of it all. Yeah, it really struck me how many different specialists were involved in this study.
Oh, yeah.
Surgeons, geneticists, oncologists, pathologists, even computer engineers.
It really makes you realize how much teamwork goes into this kind of research.
Yeah.
Lung cancer is such a complex problem.
Right.
That it requires expertise from all these different fields.
It's like they each bring a different piece of the puzzle to the table.
Right.
The surgeons provide insights from the operating room.
Yeah.
The geneticists analyze the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
The oncologists understand the treatments and so on.
And the computer engineers.
Yeah.
Well, they help make sense of the mountains of data.
Oh, yeah.
Generated by all those other specialists.
This whole deep dive has been like that, too.
Really?
Yeah, connecting different pieces of information to see the bigger picture.
I like that.
Yeah, we started with those sneaky circulating tumor cells.
Right.
Then explored gene mutations, their potential link to COPD.
Yes.
And now this amazing collaboration between researchers.
It is pretty cool.
It feels like we've uncovered a whole ecosystem of knowledge.
It is an ecosystem that's constantly evolving.
Yeah.
You know, this one research paper is just a snapshot in time.
Right.
But it opens up so many new avenues for exploration.
That's what I find so inspiring about science.
What's that?
It's never finished.
You got it.
Every answer leads to more questions.
Yeah.
And every discovery sparks new ideas.
Speaking of new ideas.
Yeah.
I have one for you to ponder.
Okay.
As we wrap up this deep dive.
Okay, let's hear it.
We've talked a lot about how this research could lead to personalized medicine.
Right.
But what about prevention?
Okay.
Imagine if we could develop a vaccine.
A vaccine.
That targeted those specific gene mutations we discussed.
A vaccine for lung cancer.
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
It would be a game changer.
But wouldn't that be incredibly difficult to develop?
Oh, absolutely.
We're talking about multiple genes, different mutations,
right.
A complex disease process.
It would definitely be a challenge, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But think about the impact it could have.
Okay.
Especially for those who are genetically predisposed to lung cancer.
Right.
Or who have other risk factors like COPD.
Mm-hmm.
It could potentially save countless lives.
It's a bold idea, but that's what we need.
Yeah.
Bold ideas to tackle a disease as serious as lung cancer.
Absolutely.
This deep dive has given me a renewed sense of hope.
That's great.
Knowing that researchers are out there pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
It's been a pleasure exploring these complex topics with you.
Likewise.
And to our listener.
Yes.
We hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity and inspired you to keep learning.
Definitely.
About the fascinating world of science and medicine.
Keep on learning.
Absolutely.
Remember, knowledge is power.
Yes, it is.
And the more we understand about our bodies and the diseases that affect them, the better equipped we are to make informed decisions about our health.
Couldn't agree more.
Until next time, keep diving deep.